You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, August 3rd, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's Casual Friday. That means Cliff Schechter will be here to wrap up the week. Also on the program today, if she's not sleeping, Sarah Silverman will be giving me a suggestion for a movie to watch. Well, I guess not just over the weekend, but over the week of vacation. I might actually get 90 minutes to watch a movie over the next week. Also on the program today, that story I neglected to tell you yesterday about my former bete noir, Joe Lieberman, a man without a home. So sad. Also on the program today, you're not the only one who gets those Nigerian 419 email scams. Seems that banks are getting them too. And apparently, sometimes they're falling for it. That story I didn't get to yesterday about the immigration activists and Mitt Romney's plans for the estate tax. Here's a hint. He doesn't want to pay any. He doesn't want any of his wealthy buddies to pay any either. And today is same-sex kiss day in Chick-fil-A across the country. We don't have any videos yet, but I suspect the hate a gay, eat a processed chicken chain will have some pretty funny stories to tell when they're done. Little house cleaning. I mentioned this yesterday. Next week I'm going on vacation. Members, now, I thought I had all of the archives from the Majority Report and Sam Cedar Show and Cedar on Sunday. Well, you know, best laid plans, ladies and gentlemen. I opened up the files, and they weren't there. However, we have been running around like chickens with our heads cut off this morning. I am about to pass out just from the stress and the exhaustion. And we will, for members, at the very least, we will have some archive shows for you over the next week. Gore Vidal, Fran Lebowitz. Cowboy Junkies in studio singing the songs. They Might Be Giants. What else? What was the other one you just said? You don't know. And we may do some also a couple of best ofs from this version of the Majority Report. We'll have two new interviews for you. One from Elizabeth Klein on her book Overdressed. And maybe one other. But you'll find that all out next week. So members, you'll be getting stuff. For you freeloaders, I'm not sure yet. I'm running around here. I'm sweating and freaking out. And then I'm thinking, like, wait, 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 wait. Why am I doing this? Why am I freaking out? I mean, aside from the fact that my capacity to deal with stress has been minimized by a number of factors. So we'll see. Maybe you'll get something, maybe you won't. That's what happens when you live your life like the way you're living it. I don't want to get into this, but your folks and I have been talking, and we're a little disappointed in you. So I don't want to make you feel bad, but I don't know what to tell you. Also, good news, us at Ring of Fire, the weekend show that I do with Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio, we are now going to be on New York City Radio, WWRL 1600 AM, New York's Progressive Talk, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Sundays, WWRL 1600 AM. Welcome back to New York, Ring of Fire. Why, thank you. We're happy to be here. Maybe we'll have one of those famous New York hot dogs or pretzels. You know what I noticed? They don't sell pretzels on the street anymore. I don't know when they stopped doing that. Maybe it was 20 years ago, but don't tell Nikki, but Mile and I went out the other day, and she wanted a hot dog from a cart, and I said, you know what? You got it. And we had a hot dog, and I realized they don't sell those big, warm, chewy pretzels out of carts anymore. Maybe they just do it in tourist areas.
Yeah, maybe it's just the guy you went to.
Yeah, maybe it was just the guy I went to. All right, folks, it's Friday, and that means, we also have Harry Shearer. So we got some great oldies and maybe goodies. I didn't have a chance to listen to them, so maybe they're incredibly embarrassing. I imagine I do a lot of stuttering. I imagine that my ahs and uhs have maintained a consistency through the years. And Janine probably yells at me during the show, so you should enjoy that. But it's Friday. We're going to be talking to Cliff Schechter in just a moment. But first, we'll take this brief break. Hello, everybody. This episode of The Majority Report is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Check it out. You can get a free download right now at audiblepodcast.com/majority report. That's audiblepodcast.com/majority report. Don't forget, you can get Neil Barofsky's Bailout, an inside account of how Washington abandoned Main Street while rescuing Wall Street, for free at audiblepodcast.com/majority report. Or you can get Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel, The Fate of Human Societies, and actually read it instead of Mitt Romney just quoting it completely wrongly. audiblepodcast.com/majority report. Get a free book now!
I'm looking through a pane of glass. Look through the window and what do you see? Look through the window and what do you see? Look through the window and what do you see? I'm looking through a pane of glass. Let myself...
All right, we are back. And before we get to Cliff Schechter, of course, well, we have to play this.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Cliff, if you don't have that as your phone ring, I don't know what is wrong with you, dude.
It is pretty awesome. It just gets in there. It burrows right in the in the cerebral cortex. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Exactly. It is like it is. It's like it's. I mean, I've got people who email me like, Love your stuff with Cliff Schechter. But I sing his theme song in the shower.
That's a little disturbing. In fact, right? I've heard it's so popular that Rafalka dances to it.
There you go. And Rafalka, of course, for those who don't know, is Mitt Romney's dressage horse. Or I should say Ann Romney's dressage.
Dressage is not an easy word, man.
No.
For the upper crust that say things like poppycock and sport.
I don't know if I've ever said the word dressage before this year. But before we get to Mitt Romney, because, of course, you know, we got to talk about – there was also actually an interesting – I mean, I am now so obsessed with John Ellis, George Bush's former cousin, because of his appearance in that book. I don't know if you've read that book, Octopus, by my buddy Guy Lawson, but it is an awesome.
I have not.
Read it. It's an awesome. It's an easy read. It's just a great read. But we'll get into it maybe when we talk about this.
What's
John
the topic?
Ellis.
Just out of interest. What's it about exactly?
I don't know if you remember this story about Sam Israel. I've been talking about this book for 3 weeks since Guy came on. We talked about it with Taibbi.
Are they giving you any royalties for it?
No, but no.
They should be, apparently.
No, but I think we're going to have a barbecue sometime in the next week, and he's going to come, and maybe he'll.
I think you should make your case.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, at the very least, I'm going to get him to like buy me a brew or something like that.
Okay, I'll stop being goofy, but I'm really now you've got me interested.
Sam Israel. This is the guy. I don't know if you remember the story, but he in 2008, I think it was, he basically got busted for running this fraudulent hedge fund called Bayou. It was a $400 million hedge fund. He basically lost like $200 million in it and had been lying about the profits. He faked his own suicide. But between the time that this guy was 18 and he gets to that fake suicide, the story is just completely out of control. First, it talks about his life on Wall Street and how he came to realize that Wall Street's completely rigged. Then he went on to – he thought he was going to make a name for himself with this computer program that was going to front run essentially the market and make himself millions of dollars in his hedge fund. That fell apart, and so he had to start lying about his hedge fund returns. And the more he lied about the hedge fund's returns, the more money that people sent to him, the deeper he got into a hole, and he panicked because he wanted to – he didn't want to run this Ponzi scheme.
Right.
And then he basically, because he was so desperate for money, he got conned essentially by these people who were telling him that there was a fake Fed-run bond market for basically the elites, where he could make like triple his money, but you needed like $150 million to get in, and he had it. And the best part was
awesome.
The best part was he was also trying to make money through venture capital, and John Ellis, Bush's cousin, had a venture capital
fund. The one who was at Fox News who called the election for him?
Indeed. And so John Ellis sort of got wrapped up into this con and was contacting the White House to see if they could help with the finding of fake federal notes that were given to Chiang Kai-shek and were hidden in a Japanese, like an Indonesian cave or something, or from World War II. I mean, it's just insane, and it's all true. It's just crazy. But
the Wall Street stuff is just, you know, it's like I remember being in college and reading Michael Lewis's book.
Uh-huh.
You know. And you would have thought back then when he came clean about the fact that people were giving him all enormous sums of money when he was basically a fine arts major at Princeton, a couple of years out of school with really no knowledge of the market. And I mean, you know, but this stuff just continues forever. I'll come clean, by the way, Sam. I'm going to tell people something about me they don't know.
Oh, God. Hold on for a second. Wait a second.
It's pretty exciting
stuff. I'm trying to think about what we got this.
Well, you know what we were just talking about.
Hold on. Can you not hear this?
No, I can't.
Oh, I don't know why. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. I don't know what Matt does to the board sometimes.
It's okay. What were you playing?
I was playing Breaking News. My Breaking News.
Oh.
Because we were about to break.
Tell me when to talk, and I will.
Oh no, talk, buddy.
Oh, I thought you were still playing the Breaking News thing.
Oh,
I
wait
didn't
a second.
I interrupted.
Well, let's try this again. Hold on. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear that?
Very low.
Very low.
But it's okay. I heard something.
All right. Okay, go ahead, buddy.
So, before I had any clue what I wanted to do with my life, which implies that I have a clue now, which is not necessarily true. When I got out of college, I worked on Wall Street for 2 years, just because I didn't know what to do in the mid-90s. I was
really?
A stockbroker.
I had no idea.
I know. It's not like something I try to hide. I just don't think it's ever come up before. But it's fun to talk about in the context of this stuff, because I worked at a place you may have heard of, Lehman Brothers. story of my career, by the way. I also did polling for Bob Torricelli. I worked for Elliot Spitzer. If I work somewhere, somebody's going to prison or leaving in a scandal. I also did polling for Bill Clinton in 96. He was impeached. I worked on the campaign for the daughter of Sam Woxall, who went to jail for the M-Clone insider trading with Martha Stewart. You get the picture, right?
Yeah, well, I've seen what's happened with this show.
You're probably going to go to prison soon, Sam. You should probably know that. But in any case, I worked at
Lehman
Brothers.
You know what's going to happen if I go to prison?
This.
I'm going to get emails from people going like, hey, how come you haven't put out more content from prison?
Song in the shower?
Yeah, why does everything sound like it's coming from a phone call? And how come we keep hearing, please put in another dime?
And then on top of it, you'll be able to tell people how popular the Cliff Schechter theme song is in the shower.
That's right. There you go.
In any case, where was I? So point being, there was when I realized pretty much immediately that this wasn't what I wanted to do, and was thinking of something else. But for the year and a half, or so, it was really about a year and a half that I did this. I worked under some big stockbrokers who handled some pretty big individual clients. And, you know, I was being put on the phone at times to tell people stuff that I had that there was just no justification for my being able to tell them that as a history major in college. You know what I mean? And a legal studies minor.
Where did you work? Where did you work?
I was at one New York Plaza. Like, it's got like the square windows. It's the lowest, literally the building at the tip of Battery Park.
Okay.
You know, like right over the water, the helicopters, when Bill Clinton would come to town, they would come in and land there, and there'd be guys with like guns pointed up at my window. So if I moved too quickly, someone would blow me away. They also filmed Die Hard 3 there while I was there, which was nice, a part of the movie. So yeah, that's where I was. In fact, I was just back in New York this weekend. It turned out to be all family stuff, Sammy, so I'm sorry I didn't get to call you. Mm. And we went down to that area, and I got to point to my kids and be like, look, I worked for Lehman Brothers up there. That's a firm that used to exist before it lost a lot of people's money and went out of business.
Buddy of mine, I think it was in 19, it must have been like the early 90s, was working either at Bear Stearns or at Lehman Brothers. And I remember, like, he took me up there. I had never seen this before. You know, the big bullpen where everybody's on the phone doing the cold calling. And all I remember is some guy who couldn't have been more than like 22, stands up and just goes, yeah. And they're like, well, you know, what happened? He's like, I just sold this old guy some, you know, whatever chicken crap, you know, like it was just, I just realized like, oh my God, you know, because you know, I had grown up with like, oh, stockbrokers. Right. Of course they're guys. And you know, three, I had no idea what it was, that it was basically just, you know, essentially like not even as honest as that guy in Paper Moon who was going around selling encyclopedias. At least encyclopedias, you get some value to it. These guys are just on the phone just trying to sell crap to chumps. I mean, that was basically.
And I don't want to say that there were some honest guys there, and there were some guys who'd gone to business school. So I'm not going to say that everyone's bad, but I would say that the culture is such that a lot of people are exactly the way you just described it. And some of the guys I worked around, I mean, I should have written the movie Boiler Room before it was written. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, but it was not so far off. Did you really?
Oh yeah, my God, I'll tell you. Every movie that was made from like 90. 2007 to 2003, I probably, or 2002, I auditioned for.
That's so hysterical. Yeah, well, I mean, I had that story, and I took notes while I was there. The good future writer, but I always wrote a lot, you know, I always was a lot better about writing my nonfiction than sticking with the fiction, which is always been a problem. And I had a great story there because, I mean, I saw stockbrokers brawling in the hallway over clients and the lies I heard told to people by a lot of them to get people to give them their money. I mean, you know, and this is in the booming 90s, man, before it all. So maybe someday I'll work it into a screenplay or a novel or something because there's still fun and fresh material there. But I guess the only reason I brought it up for fun, because I, it's not like I try to hide it. I just thought, oh, you know, I've never mentioned it before, certainly on your show. I've mentioned it to other people as a joke. But I really brought it up in the context of the book you were talking about and in the context of bringing up Michael Lewis. And just to say, I was there and I saw it. And all the stuff people are saying are true. The things people are saying are very true.
And it's only gotten worse, right? I mean,
I was there pre-Glass-Steagall. Remember, before Glass-Steagall was repealed and the rest. So it can only have gotten much worse, would be my thought.
Be that as it may, I should also say, since it's Name Drop Friday, I auditioned for Milos Forman multiple times and Woody Allen.
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is pretty solid stuff.
Yeah, I auditioned with Andy Kaufman's brother, who ended up playing, you know, this was, I think it was Man on the Moon, and Andy Kaufman's brother was there auditioning, and I went up to, like, Milos Forman's apartment on, like, Central Park South and sat with him. Didn't get the job.
I wish I had names to drop. I don't know as many cool people as you do, Sam.
Well,
so.
None of them know me anymore. So, but all right, be that as it may. Speaking of, so let's first let's name drop Joe Manchin for a second. Am I pronouncing his
yes.
name?
Yes. I think this is.
I'll tell you something.
It sounds like it should be Manchin, shouldn't it be? Even if it's not pronounced that way.
Yeah, you know, this guy is. It's funny. Like, the first thing that occurs to me when I see the Joe Manchin has invited Simpson and Bowles to West Virginia for an event is that, you know, our best hope,
Three Stooges remake.
Our best hope is going to be just how bat crap crazy the Republicans in the House are going to be, because that's the only way we're going to stop a deal to cut Social Security. But tell us about that visit.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, I feel like there's some people that don't make, you know, I'll say this quickly, don't make distinctions, and they either hate everybody who's not a perfect progressive, or they're people that are, you know, that literally defend anybody, no matter how terrible they are.
Right.
You know, and I always feel like you have to make distinctions in this stuff. Like, I know there are a lot of people that aren't happy with someone like Bill Nelson, but I think overall, when I think of Florida and the rest, I think he's a useful guy to have there, and he's good overall. And there are things I don't like about him, but he's very good on some issues. Okay. Manchin belongs to that gang of, like, you know, Bill Nelson and the 19 or so guys in the House that vote to hold Holder in contempt over Fast and Furious and vote to make Washington D.C. a place where abortion is outlawed, even in cases of rape and incest. You know the types of guys I'm talking about who vote against the tax plan, the sort of 17 to 19 blue dogs that are just really terrible human beings. And I put Joe Manchin in that. I mean, I think he's worthless. He's obviously from West Virginia, a poor state, one that needs economic help, that got it for years with Robert Byrd in the Senate and Jay Rockefeller, thankfully. But, you know, whenever I take a drive from Ohio or D.C., I drive through West Virginia, and it's still a pretty poor place. So what do you do when you're the third oldest state in the country and one of the poorest, one of the three or four poorest states in the country that relies disproportionately on Social Security? Well, if you're Joe Manchin, you invite Bowles and Simpson to come to town and have a big event, you know, to discuss how we should cut Social Security, which is what's happening in Charleston, West Virginia, if anybody feels like going and saying hello to them, on September 10th at the Culture Center, ironically enough. Because Manchin is definitely someone full of culture. I remember thinking he was very cultured when he made that first ad of the last cycle, when he put up the new EPA regulations on a target and took out his rifle and shot them for a campaign ad. I thought that was very cultured.
Well, culture for him actually means you bring in a like a French-made or a foreign-made automatic weapon. But, you know, and kudos to him for shooting up the EPA regulations as opposed to just shooting the people who have to deal with mountaintop mining and the miners who come out of there with black lung and the people who are exposed to all the toxins that come out of that mountaintop mining. Because that's that would have been a more crass way of doing what he's doing when he shoots those EPA regulations, right? I mean,
right.
It would have been far more practical.
He'd rather let them die slowly from right. the effects of the legislation he right. supports than just shooting them. So I guess maybe we'll give him credit for that. So, you know, he made a little speech, the debt's nearing $16 trillion, blah, blah, blah. The fiscal cliff, he's even using my name, which gets me angry, frankly. The fiscal cliff is truly a cliff, Manchin said. Wow, that's, I may quote him on that, that the fiscal cliff is truly a cliff. And so he's, you know, he's supporting that, he's very much in the Simpson-Bowles camp. And again, I mean, it's offensive at its very core.
Let's be honest. What Democrat now isn't? I mean, you know, the amount of just horse crap coming from these people. I'm fed up with it. I mean, I'm just so fed up with, you know, seeing so-called liberal elite, you know, liberal establishment types going on and on about, you know, CPI and we can chain the CPI, and it's just unbelievable. The attack on Social Security is unrelenting. And
I agree with you. It comes from a few different quarters, you know. In the Manchin case, it's all about looking
right.
You know, because he's scared of his own shadow. That's why he needs to shoot things in commercials and look like he's a big, tough man, you know, and he can, you know, he's a man of the center and the rest. There's obviously a different fetish in D.C., you know, where people actually are uptight about a deficit that was only created by tax cuts and wars that weren't paid for. That's sort of the David Brooks crowd and some of the new Democrats that are a little bit different. But you know, the difference is, I guess, while those guys pissed me off, you know, frankly, they wouldn't know Social Security if they tripped over it.
Right.
Because they're all elitist Washington types, so they come from wealthy suburban districts around the country, the Congress members who are new Democrats for the most part. And I'm not saying that means I have any more sympathy for that position. I'm just saying I understand it more. It still pisses me off. But there's something – well, no, I shouldn't. Maybe I'm not putting it right, because there's something just about someone like Manchin, who comes from West Virginia – being a big guy pushing that. You know, if someone who's a senator from Connecticut or New Jersey or somewhere pushes it, you know, it's wrong, but that's their constituency. You know, but you can't use the excuse with Manchin like you can on maybe some of the social issues that he's just serving his constituency. He's not. He's betraying them.
Right.
He's feeding them a lie, and he's going to impoverish and hurt them more with that lie. And so to me, it's even that much worse, you know. So I understand what you're saying, because so many liberal establishment types have jumped on this bandwagon. We've gone through the Matt Millers of the world and their inane articles on this topic. But it still doesn't change the fact that, man, I mean, that he's holding a big event in Charleston, West Virginia. There's something about that scenery that's so offensive, if you've been through the state of West Virginia and you understand how poor it is, that just, you know.
It
I don't know. It makes me want to take the Simpson-Bowles report. It pisses me off so much, I think I'm going to make a campaign commercial. I'm going to put the Simpson-Bowles report on a target and shoot it.
Yeah. You could actually just load it with like a senior citizen, just to fire a senior citizen out of a cannon at the Simpson-Bowles report.
I think we might as well just jump right to that. So that's Joe Manchin. You know, I mean, I think he's indefensible. He's the new Ben Nelson. Again, I really do feel like I try to have nuance on these things.
Right.
And there's some Democrats who I don't always agree with, but from the states they're from, even if they're sort of centristy, whatever, they're worth having there. In the case of Manchin, he's worthless. And I wouldn't vote for him if I lived in West Virginia. I wouldn't care, no matter what. That's where I'm coming from on that one.
Good. Well, if he's got a problem with it, he can pack his heat and head to Ohio and deal with you.
Couple hour drive over here through the nice mountains that have probably been blown up because of him.
Yes, and, exactly. Little less hilly these days.
Exactly. It's a little more of a clear drive because of some of the policies he's supported. So that's good.
All right. Well, let's move on to Mitt Romney. This dude. First off, we should say, you know, and I get so annoyed about this. I mean, these days there's a lot of things that are annoying me, so people have to forgive me. But That's why I need
vacation's
to go on vacation.
Coming soon,
exactly.
Sammy.
No, I mean it's. I couldn't.
Are you going somewhere where there's nice margaritas, perhaps frozen?
Well, maybe I'll buy them at the supermarket or something. I mean, I'm not. No, it's nowhere fancy.
You're heading to the upstate house?
Yeah, just going upstate. And we're signed up for the staycation.
For an extended period of time. That's actually more relaxing.
The only places we can go on any vacation that is actually out of state is something that's going to be child themed, because then we get one of my daughter's grandparents to say, like, oh, you know, you really should take her on a trip. We'll come to babysit. And that's basically the way that works. It's going to be like that, I think, for a while. But
I will say, as someone who has kids, the staycations are often much more relaxing than the actual vacations.
Indeed. But all right. Well, so 163,000 jobs in the jobs report. The unemployment rate rose a couple of point
up to 8.3, right?
Yeah, just barely. I mean, when you round up, but which is theoretically to be expected as more people theoretically re-enter the job market as there's more jobs. 163,000 is anemic by all measures except for what the punditry will say is relevant to the Obama reelection, which I think is accurate. I mean, look, you know, the bottom
line
is –
And also compared to what was created during most of the Bush administration.
Yes, that's true as well. I mean, look, the fundamental problem is we don't have enough fiscal stimulus. We don't have enough government spending. There's no other way to describe it. There's no other way to contextualize it. It isn't true. We should have we have lost over 650,000 jobs since in 2008, I believe, government jobs. In any other recovery, we would not only have not lost 600 plus thousand jobs, we would have actually we would be on the positive side of the ledger. 300,000, 600,000, 1.2 million. When you look at the past recessions, whether the recovery came under Clinton, Reagan, Bush, it doesn't matter. I'm talking about government jobs here. So we're not going to get anywhere without some type of fiscal stimulus. There's some people who argue for, the Fed should set a higher inflation rate. That would help. I don't know how much it would help, but that would definitely help. There's just like two metrics here, you know.
I think the key thing to look at is everything you just said is right. You and I have had so many conversations on this show, we probably could create a couple hours of those discussions about what the stimulus should have been and stimulus that's needed and the rest, and the government jobs lost counteracting private sector jobs added, and you know, the whole rest of it. But again, you know, look, at the end of the day, as much as we criticize Obama, and we do, we have a choice between two things, and Mitt Romney wants to go back to the other thing.
Right.
The thing that created fewer jobs, in fact, cost us many jobs, led to a financial crash of epic proportions, quite frankly, that we're still reeling from, obviously. And he wants to do worse because he wants to give every millionaire out there, everybody making $1 million a year, about a $250,000 tax break, which is a hell of a lot more than Bush gave them.
Yeah, his tax plan is just an absolute
it's a freaking joke. I mean, in a society with a real media, that thing would have been so picked apart by, you know, without the he said, she said media, with a media that called it like it was, they'd look at that and be like, there's no scientific method and there's no mathematical formula you can do that makes this thing make an ounce of sense.
You know what I'm realizing is that it is impossible in the context of our media to have a candidate that is perceived by the media as an absolute joke. Now, I can understand on one hand how the media says, okay, you know, he polls within, you know, 40 to 50%, so we cannot say that he is a complete joke. But
that's
the
chicken or the egg thing, isn't it? I mean, does he partially poll there because they haven't told people what he really stands for?
Because those people really, really don't like Obama. And but this guy is such a horrible, horrible candidate. I mean, he's known for at least, I mean, by even the most generous calculations, 8 years. He's probably known for 12. I mean, it's really known that he was going to run for president. And the dude can't organize his finances in such a way that he can afford to release his taxes. I mean, just think about that for a moment. I mean, it's just absurd.
We've talked about this. Everything from the hiring the private lobbyist to the car elevator to not being able to release his taxes to actually entering Rafalka, the dancing horse, in this Olympics. There are a whole lot of things that if you were going forward, you would say to yourself, I probably shouldn't do because it won't like make me look like a regular dude to people when I need to win. And he's done virtually everything you could do to look like the jackass he obviously is, to give people an accurate impression of who this guy is. And I think that's the question. You know, I find that question, you have to dance around certain things because you're not allowed to ask certain questions around religion, for example. You know, I mean, Mormonism is a pretty insular religion with a lot of secrecy and a lot of, when you reach the sort of level that he reached as a stake, something or other, I can't think of the word, the term.
He's a bishop.
You know, he was basically, yeah, I mean, he was a bishop at one point, and then he rose above that to there's a term, a stake, I'm getting one word and not the other word. In any case, you literally can take kids in private rooms, from what I've read and understand, and ask them about their sex lives and their sexual fantasies and things like that. And literally, I mean, that's the kind of power you have over your congregation. And I'm not saying all Mormons behave this way, and I'm not saying all Mormons agree with this. So this is not a casting aspersions and all, but as I often do when I try to differentiate the elite from any organization from the regular people, this is how the elite in Mormonism behave. And you know, and not all of them again, but some of them do. Obviously. And the same thing, you know, it's the same thing when it comes to the financial stuff. I mean, the Mormon Church has a lot of for-profit corporate activity. I've come up against it because they're one of the people who are selling some of these guns online to anybody who would buy them without doing any background checks because they were making money doing it. They've got a lot of for-profit entities. I'm just saying how much of this comes from sort of some of the culture of the elite part of the religion he's in, how much of it comes from the kind of private school, you know, upbringing he had coming up in a wealthy family, even though his dad seemed like a pretty respectable guy.
Well, we know this, okay? We know that when Romney was the chair of the audit committee for Marriott, the Marriott Hotel, which, and I don't know if Jay Willard Marriott was a Mormon. I don't know that. I
think so. Yeah,
I think he was.
He was. I think the whole family was, and he was, and Romney was actually named.
They engaged in multiple tax schemes, and he is the chair of the audit committee. Okay, his job is to examine financial statements to make sure that they were accurate and that they were. The members of that committee review, quote, the results of internal and external audits, the accounting principles applied in financial reporting and financial operational controls. Okay, that's what his job as chairman of the audit committee was. And they got slammed by the Department of Justice in 2009, apparently, in 1994, Marriott used a tax shelter known to attorneys by its nickname, Son of Boss. By the time the Justice Department got a hold of it, I'm serious.
When your tax shelter actually has a nickname, I mean, that's pretty cool.
And the Department of Justice and the IRS both said this is a hinky scheme that is invalid. He's obviously engaged in something that prevents
Son
him from
of
releasing
Boss?
His taxes.
Is that what you said it was called?
What's it?
Son of Boss?
Son of Boss. B-O-S-S.
Wow. Not Son of Sam, huh?
No. And look, this guy's engaged in something.
Well, he's told you he is. I mean, he's come out and said it. Twice he said, you know, I think I was reading somebody who was doing a critique on him. I can't think who it was. And saying, you know, sometimes we jump on people for saying one thing once. And, you know, everybody I know, you know, Sam, we both have got do plenty of TV, radio, and other stuff. You're going to say things at times you wish you didn't say that you put in artfully, and you know, not as much as Mitt Romney, obviously, but he's in his own class on that. But when he said once, you know, maybe you sort of give him a pass or you'd at least sort of say maybe he didn't mean it exactly that way, which is you wouldn't want somebody who paid a cent more in taxes than they could find a way not to pay, or, you know, something along those lines, right? But he repeated that statement recently. And that sort of tells you his view of everything, which is any way, you know, at least legally, he didn't say illegally, but let's talk legally for now, any possible loophole that he could find, he would find.
Oh, yeah.
And he considers that his patriotic duty.
He doesn't even believe.
That's his patriotic duty as an American.
He doesn't even believe that you would want a president to do that, or he releases taxes. You know,
right, we wouldn't want a president who wouldn't do that. And it's sort of like, I scratch my head and feel like, yeah, actually, I would want a president that believes in this country enough that when they're making $250 million, which is probably quite low compared to the real number, net worth, they might pay a little bit of extra money because they believe in the damn country they want to run for president of.
That's somebody I actually wouldn't want as my president. Some guy tweeted me the other day. He's like, don't everybody try and minimize their taxes as much as possible? And I for most of my adult life, I've hired an accountant to do my taxes. And there have been times where they say, you know, if you establish a residency here or we do this, and I'm just like, I don't care about that. Let me just like, this is where I am. Just pay the taxes. I'm not going to whatever. It's not, I mean, maybe I would feel more uptight about it why would I feel more uptight about it? I guess if I was making more money, I mean, I'm bringing home more cash. What difference does it make? The taxes are what the taxes are. And do I think there's a waste? Yeah, of course. There's waste in everything. We got waste in this office.
That's it. You get obsessed with the fact that to run any organization, and as we all know, the big myth of the Republicans is that, you know, government's this big bureaucracy, but big business isn't. Which we all know the truth of the matter is that any entity or organization gets bigger and less personal, and you're playing with other people's money and not your own. This is the stuff that happens. It's the price you pay. So there are those of us who are mature enough to understand that in a modern democracy, you actually need a government that does stuff, like builds things that other people won't bother to build because there's no profit motive for them to do it. And you say to yourself, there's going to be some waste. And if we can root out waste as best we can, we will. And if there are people who are abusing it and ripping it off, like, I don't know, some defense contractors, we will go after them. But it's inevitable. It happens.
Oh, of course. Walk down the street and pull out 10 people out of the street and say, where do you work? Is there crap going on there that's ridiculous to you? Are you seeing waste and just, you know, if not outright fraud half the time? I would say probably 9 out of 10 people would be like, oh, are you kidding me? Oh, it's unbelievable.
Most of the organizations that pay me to do anything have to be asking themselves
the boss is a
why
jerk.
They're wasting that money.
He sits in his office and plays solitaire, and there's money flying out the window. He doesn't care. It's not his money. I mean, this is the way the human beings function. And, there's no – I don't care if it's the military. I don't care if it's
exactly. The bigger it gets, the more waste there will be. That's just human nature because it matters to you more when it's more personal to you, when you know the people better, when it's your money. And so that's the problem there. So obviously this is going to happen. But to think, well, I'm not going to pay any taxes because there's some waste is stupid and it's immature. And it's kind of like I just wrote a whole column last week partially on what happened in Aurora, but partially in general about these types of guys that we all come across on the right, you know, which I called boys with toys. Because, you know, and because that's how they react when you sort of say, well, maybe we should think about what we should do to prevent a massacre like that. No, I have my right to do whatever I want, and blah, 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 blah. And they're the same way with taxes. You have no right to take any money from me. And, are you a child? You know, have you reached puberty? Have you grown up? Have you become a mature adult? Do you realize the way the world works? Because at some point, you realize that not everything is as you would love it to be. There will be some waste along the way. There will be some rights that you voluntarily give up to live in a civilized society. And that's the way it all works. And one of them is, if you truly are this patriot you pretend to be, you wave your American flag and wear your little lapel pin and put the nice magnet on the back of your car. Well, you know, if you believe in any of that crap and you really do believe in this country, then you would probably do what you can to have a lower your tax rate. But you wouldn't go to, like, Ruthian, limits to do what you can to charter companies in Bermuda and to throw money into the Grand Cayman and do God knows what else to pay nothing. you wouldn't necessarily take $77,000 write-offs for the dancing horse Rafalka. All right? There's a point where it gets ridiculous. And we all know what that point is. And so it's not being hypocritical.
I mean, it really is,
Sam,
the definition of antisocial.
You do something to lower your tax rate. So do I. We all do.
Isn't it
really
ridiculous? Isn't it the definition of antisocial at that point? I mean, because it's not just like, I don't like to go out to parties. It's like, I am willing. I don't care about society's cohesion and adhesion enough to not, I'm going to, I don't know. I just find the whole thing just sort of absolutely ridiculous. And you know what? God bless. We only just got a couple minutes here. God bless Harry Reid. I love it. I love it.
So do I.
I love it. I love it that
maybe
he
the best
said
thing
this
he's
stuff.
Done in five
he
years.
Took the stupid
maybe
comments from Jon Stewart saying, like, you're horrible, Harry Reid, for saying, look, the idea that what Reid is saying is baseless, or is in any way like, when was the last time you stopped hitting your wife? Those things are absolutely not true. I cannot prove that I stopped beating my wife. I cannot prove a negative. Mitt Romney could prove in 1 minute by how much, whether or not he paid taxes, by doing what his dad said must be done to not avoid shenanigans like Romney's obviously engaged in. And the idea that it's baseless is also ridiculous, because every tax expert who's written, from Forbes to Bloomberg to wherever, whatever outlet it is, every conservative commentator from Crystal to whoever it is, has said, release the taxes. What's going on here? This is a mystery. We don't know what's in there. Why has he got $150 million in an IRA and no other American in the country can seem to figure out how you do that? I mean, the idea that it's baseless is also a joke. And so I
right.
love
to
what
me,
he's
the
doing.
Whole point is I love what Harry Reid is doing, and I'm just annoyed that more people aren't doing it. I'm writing a column today about Romney called The Aristocrat for my weekly column, and I'm going to make all sorts of speculation about what I think he's doing. And I have nothing to base it on. But you know what? I don't care. Because to me, until he releases it, until he comes forward
documentation. You have something to base it on. Look, listen, the bottom line is, it is standard practice for presidential candidates to release 5-10 years worth of taxes. That's standard practice. He has now deviated from that practice and cannot explain why. We know that he had accounts in Bermuda. We know that he had accounts in the Cayman Islands. We know that he had accounts in Switzerland. We know that he has an absurd amount of money in his IRA. He is deviating from the norm.
He has a corporation in Bermuda. We don't know what it does.
He's deviating from the norm. And so the basis of those that speculation is a fundamental question that is undeniable. He is doing something that has no explanation in any other way other than he's trying to hide something. This isn't President Obama can't get the state of Hawaii to release the original person. No, I'm serious, because people are comparing it. There is an explanation as to why he's not carrying around a laminated version of his birth certificate. There is no explanation that anyone has offered, other than you people don't deserve to see it, as to why he is deviating from the norm that presidential candidates have done. And you know what? I don't think that necessarily means he's done something illegal, but he's clearly hiding something that he thinks is detrimental.
Right. Let's be clear. My guess is it's probably not something illegal. It could be, but my guess is it's just something that would be so offensive that he used so many of the son of boss type maneuvers. What Reid's speculating, it may not be 10 years, it may be a couple of years, but a lot of people were speculating, a lot of actual tax experts were speculating that in 2009, there's a reason why he can't release the years before that and not release 2009. And being that was right after the crash, that he could have had so many write-offs from his various investments from losses that he could have paid no taxes that year. That's very legitimate
to
think that may be true.
Is that the U.S. government in early 2009 got documents from UBS seeing that there was a bunch of people evading taxes by hiding secret accounts in Switzerland. And they basically said to these people, they said to UBS, give us the list of these people. We're going to contact them. We'll give them a one-off opportunity to, repatriate your money, pay a fine, and we will not send you to jail. And there's every reason to believe that he was on that list of people.
in 2009.
I would be surprised at all. So
and,
I mean,
and when Romney says put up or shut up,
mention,
you should put up or shut up. You know, that's like Gary Hart saying, "Follow me around, see if I'm cheating on my wife."
Well, that's what I'm saying, and I think I have the right to speculate. For example, was it that? Was it UBS? Was it 2009? Was it an investment in a potential Newt Gingrich moon colony replete with sexual slavery? These are all things I think are worth asking.
Indeed.
And so I want to know, and I'm going to speculate today.
Well, sir, I wish I could talk to you about it next week, but sadly, I'm going to be on vacation. I don't know what I'll be doing. I'll probably be pulling weeds or doing honeydew things. Who knows?
Picking some berries. Whenever I've called you and you've been upstate, you're generally picking berries.
Indeed.
Which I respect, by the way, in a big way.
All right.
No, seriously, have a great vacation, Sam.
Thanks, Cliff. You too. Well, not vacation, but have a great next week of August.
Life, every day is a vacation for me, Sam. Life is just that much fun. Take care, buddy.
Cliff Schechter, ladies and gentlemen. And now we will take a break, and when we return, hopefully Sarah Silverman will give us a movie recommendation. We'll be right back after this.
Time for a report. We are the majority of the sheeple. We are the majority. We the people. Why do we walk the walk? Why? Talk. Why don't we just stand by? If they take a warranty, why? That's why.
We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone, ladies and gentlemen. Getting up what I guess is super early for her on the West Coast. Sarah Silverman. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
It's not that early. It's better now. 9:52.
I know. Is that your subtle way of saying that I'm late?
I got your text that I was going to be late, and then I got a little more sleep, and then I woke up. It's a great story. Let me hone it.
But the way you
delivered
it was
so good. Let me work that story out in the clubs.
The past 18 hours have been so traumatic for me. I mean, traumatic is a little bit...
Why?
Well, not that traumatic. I just had problems with the archives and going on vacation this week. And but I appreciate you doing this, Sarah.
Where are you going on vacation?
You know, nowhere. Going upstate.
Nice.
Yeah, just gonna go up and I don't know, pull weeds.
Nice. Yeah, I get it. Pull weeds. Yeah. Ha ha ha. Wink.
What? Link?
Sam.
Sarah.
Yeah.
What's up? You sound raspy this morning. Your voice sounds raspy.
This is the sound of the second stage of my life.
Oh, I see. Thank you, Grandma.
You know how Al Pacino has like his early voice and then his later voice?
Yeah.
This is my later voice.
I love it. It's
While we're talking about movies.
I know. Well, we're going to get to that. As people know, I am not allowed to go out and see movies in theaters. And so I need to watch movies on Netflix or Amazon streaming. So I have people come on and tell me. And I'm actually going to probably get to your movie because I'm going to be on vacation this week. But before we get to that, did you ever hook up with Sheldon Adelson?
No, never heard anything.
Wow.
You know, but he's very rich. He can, he can buy beautiful women, you know, who are into money. And a lot of the beautiful ones are.
No, of course. I mean, but Sarah, aren't you? I mean, if you're Sheldon Adelson, I would say like, I it's almost inconceivable that if you saw the video, he wouldn't take you up on it.
Almost just to punish me, right?
If I was in my late 70s and I had that offer and I had all that money, what else are you going to do? What are you going to take it to the grave with you?
That's true. Yeah, he could even spend another $100 million even.
Yeah, you didn't say that you had to give it to Obama it to Romney, right?
Yeah. Well, I did.
Oh, you did? Well, that was probably
it. Yeah.
What else is going on? I'm watching the Olympics, and an ad comes on for Normal Bob or Bob Paranorman. Are you in that?
No.
Wait, what is the... Wait, there was an animated thing that you're in with, like, John C. Reilly, or...
Oh, yeah, it's called Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, okay, all right. And Mila goes, there's Sarah! Because they show you talking into a microphone.
Yeah, it's so funny. You do, like, 3 years of that, and then they... And then, like, the suits come in and shoot a fake version of it for that. They could have shot any day for months and months.
Yeah, but they don't want to put that type of pressure on you.
Do you hear an echo?
Yeah, where are you now?
I'm in the recesses of hell.
What?
I was just walking in my stairwell. Because I'm walking duck. It's an emergency.
What? Where are you going?
I fell asleep before our last late night walk. Here we go. It's an emergency. I need to walk him, but it's an emergency. Yeah.
Oh, your dog.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
He's 18.
Oh, my God.
Every night I'm like, don't die. I don't know who to call. I don't know what to do. And then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, you're still here? I can't believe it.
18? Wait a second. You didn't get him when he was a puppy, did you? You didn't?
No, he was 5 and a half when I got him.
Wow. I can't believe it. So he's able to walk, obviously, right? 18 is old for a dog.
Yeah, he can walk. He's pretty much blind and deaf. Oops. Like, I'll stand in the kitchen and I just watch him go from room to room looking for me. And I'm like, I'm right here.
Oh, gosh. Doesn't he can't smell?
I do.
I mean, aren't dogs supposed to have a good sense of smell?
How dare you.
What? Are you wearing
a... He doesn't even lift his legs anymore to pee. He just kind of hovers and pees all over his chest and arms.
Tell me about it. I am right there with him. Totally, totally right. That is completely what I am doing.
That's just about where you're at.
Yeah. No, it's 50% of the time, I'd say, I soil myself. Just because who can bother making it to the bathroom?
Manish Tana, Lila.
Indeed. Oh, you're Jewish?
That's all I know.
What else is going on? What's the latest? What else are you? Are you just hanging out or what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, I get that. I'm going to come to New York for like a month-ish.
You're kidding. To do what? Just hang out?
Oh, your show all the time.
Oh, my God.
I want to just do a ton of stand-up and get ready to do a special.
Oh, sweet. That's exciting. Oh, you know who I ran into the other night? I did a panel at the Culture Project, and I ran into our buddy, Alan Bachman. You remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. He wears, Japanese...
Yes, he was wearing one.
Yeah, he wears, like this Japanese fancy, I guess what a suit is. No, they wear suits in Japan. I don't know what it is.
It's a Chinese, Nehru type of jacket. I don't know what it is. A Mandarin collar, I guess.
It is called the Culture Project. He's very cultured.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last time I think I saw him was we played poker with him. And I remember, I remember taking a significant amount of money from him.
Wait, he came to Eddie's game?
Yeah. You don't still play poker, do you?
Yeah.
Wait.
I played at Eddie's last time I was in New York. I played at Eddie's. Yeah, I did. Month ago.
Oh, well, excuse me. I guess I was busy.
I guess you were. You're on the mailing list.
I'm not on the mailing list.
Well, there is no mailing list, but don't you get the hammer down?
The hammer down?
You didn't get that?
No. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I'll put you on it. It's not like it's William Stevenson, a day or two later, writes a rundown of the night. It's incredible, the steel trap that is his mind. Well, he looks like he is just so high all night long. And then he recalls everything.
I saw William on Louis' show, I guess it was a week or two ago.
Yeah, me too. I just caught up last night. Oh, my God.
That show is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Just, it's comedy could be art.
Yeah, or art can be funny.
Yeah.
Episode last night was fantastic.
Oh, God. Unbelievable.
You sound like you're upset about it.
No, it's just I'm moved by it. In the week before with Parker Posey and that whole night.
Yeah, what happened to her? I got the sense that she would be in it for a while, but she this week not there.
Well, I think she'll be in and out, I think, throughout the season, is my guess.
They shot in China, too.
I know. They had extra money. They had some extra money left over, Yeah.
It really is unbelievable. Are you going to start doing stand-up specials like Louis did? I mean, are people are people talking about that he's created a new model for them or no?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, he's obviously a game changer, and I think that's the way things are going to start going, but I think what comics are finding out the hard way a little bit is Louis did it, but Louis's also the biggest comedian in the country.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think comics go, I'm gonna put it up myself for $5 and make $1 million in the first week, and they don't.
But I mean, you're a big enough stand-up that you could actually do that model, right? I mean, you may not make $5 million overnight, but
no, I mean, it's not my moment right now.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm doing great. I live my life, but I mean, I feel like Louis did it
right at the peak.
He's having a moment, you know? I mean, he's brilliant, and he's been around, and he'll stay forever, and he totally changed everything the whole way. But you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not saying it was a fluke. I'm just saying it's not for, I don't know that I would have the, I don't know.
Well, all right. I mean,
hey.
What? Are you talking to me?
Nothing. I'm just saying, hey, I don't know. I ran out of gas, Sam.
I understand. Believe me, I am so out of gas. I've hit the wall, Sarah.
Have you really?
I mean, that's why I'm taking vacation. I hit the wall.
Aww.
Yeah. What are you gonna
do? You look good. You look good. You look handsome.
You can't. We're talking on an audio device right now. You can't see me.
Yeah, but I've seen you around. Sorry, I'm outside with office and stuff. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I look good. I mean, that's the important thing. I've had a lot of work done, and it's keeping me looking young.
Yeah, plastic surgery on men always comes out really well.
No, yeah, I've done a lot of plastic surgery, a lot of hair therapy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Radiation tech program. It's a whole thing. I may market it.
All right.
This is going great.
Are you going to market it like this? Because this is going slow.
I was going to say. Hey, what movie? What movie should
I didn't
watch?
I didn't know I was just picking one. I made a little list.
All right. Well, great. I've got a whole week now, and theoretically I'm going to be able to watch. You know, I'll have a little bit of time.
Is this stuff that Myla can watch too or no?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, I don't. She's a little bit weird about movies. Like, she will not. She's just not into movies that much, except for Singing in the Rain. She's watched like 5,000 times.
Aww.
So she's like, once a week we'll have movie night and we'll make popcorn. She gets to stay up a little late, and it's always she wants to watch Singing in the Rain. And she quotes it all the time. Like, Myla, it's time for you to go to bed. What do you think? I'm dumb or something?
Aww. Oh, you should show her Radio Days.
Radio Days? That Woody Allen movie?
Yeah, because it's
But isn't that a little bit more adult?
It's a little adult, but it's not adult like. It will sexualize her at an early age. It's just, but it's got that great, you know, I think.
She actually likes interiors.
I think Mia Farrow, she, you know, she's like, it's about radio stars, and then she's like,
I remember the movie.
Some chomping girl from the silent movies, and then she gets that, like, breathy radio voice. And,
yeah, no, I mean, I remember it, but I mean, it just seems like it's, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe Singing in the Rain is adult, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's sort of PG-ish. I mean, I got the feeling.
It's from the perspective of a kid, Radio Days.
All right, Radio Days.
Maybe not. I don't know. Wasn't even one of my ones.
I told her I would take her to that Ed the Record or whatever that that animated movie is. I've never been to the theater with her. I've never been to a movie theater with her.
Oh my God! You've got to give her some. You got to get some memories in that brain chip of hers.
Well, going into
going
a movie
to the
theater is not
the only
thing. I've been to the ballet. I've been to the ballet multiple times with her.
Ugh, she likes it.
Wait a second. Why wouldn't a little girl
Does she like it, or is she just like you're just punishing everybody?
She loves it. Are you kidding? Why wouldn't a little girl love the ballet?
I know all little girls want to be ballerinas, but I don't think of ballet as
I took her to La Bayadere. We got tickets to La Bayadere, which is sort of the most grown-up ballet you can go to. I mean, it's like a woman's jealous and the guy has to go marry the princess, and then she kills the woman, and then he smokes opium and has a dream about it, and she loved it.
That was like the most Jewish sounding recap of a ballet probably ever.
That was,
and the woman does this, and the man is jealous of the woman, and the woman has to get married.
And he's got an opium problem, and then all of a sudden the business goes to hell. No, she loves it. She loves the ballet. So
why
has
doesn't
memories.
She marry it?
Huh? Why doesn't she marry the ballet?
What?
Gotta get you guys together.
She loves it so
much.
You
both have the same. She's talked about it. She's talking.
I have a good, totally original tag to "Why Don't You Marry It."
What is it?
There you go. Oh, she loves the ballet.
Wait a second. What is the tag?
It's this. Why don't you marry it at the Marriott?
I don't get it.
Nothing?
No.
Just,
I don't get it.
Because it just sounds like Marriott.
I have the feelings of hate. The way that Mila says goodbye to like a babysitter is, "Thank you, I love you, I want to marry you," and that's it. And then she goes. That's why she says goodbye. We're gonna get you two together. You're gonna take her out to you should take her to that movie, Ed Wrecking Man or whatever it is.
Wreck-It Ralph. You're gonna love it. She's gonna love it. It's going to be a good memory.
Are you back inside now?
It's going to be a good childhood memory.
Are you back inside?
No, I am about to go back inside. Did you hear doors open?
No. All right, so tell me, what's the movie?
Oh, wait, I have a bunch. First of all,
are you going to go to the DNC this year?
I was, and then now I don't know if I'm going to go. Might be more trouble than it's worth. I want to go. I assumed there'd be a huge march against the war on women organized. I thought there'd be, I was supposed to go and maybe I still will, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think I'm going to go this year. I'm not terribly interested, but I still tell the story of, I was working for Air America and I couldn't get into decent tickets, but you snuck me in essentially.
Oh, that was the day I ate a pot cookie, and it hit me right when I got introduced to Al Gore, and then someone took a picture, and it looks like I'm going in the picture.
Like you're going off on him? Is that what it was? You broke up a little bit.
No, I was going like, oh my god, like that, because he remembered meeting me like a million years ago, and I met him once, but he'd never remember, and then he remembered, and I was like, oh my god. But then in the picture, it's like, I just, my arms are up and my hands are all twisted and crazy, and it looks like I look like that kid from Where the Wild Things Are when he's marching with the monsters in the bandanas. Anyway, let me describe still pictures of me.
All right, what do you got for movies?
I'm back home. The Staircase.
The Staircase?
Is a documentary. Sam, you will put in, you'll go, I'll watch the first half hour of it, because it's like 7 hours long. It was like a PBS miniseries or something, or some sort of miniseries. I mean, you'll just watch the whole thing. It's so good. And then,
what is it about? If you want me to watch something that's 7 hours long, Sarah, you got to give me a little bit more than just like it's good.
Okay, it's a documentary about a novelist whose wife, they're sitting at the pool having martinis or something, and she goes to go in, and then he comes in a little while later, and she's dead at the bottom of the stairs.
Ooh.
And some documentarians start shooting it just to like document maybe for him, or I don't know, but it becomes a documentary because he's accused of the murder, because the husband's always accused of the murder. And many things are revealed, and what you believe changes throughout. And at the end,
Don't tell me the end.
I'm just saying, at the end, it ends at a certain point, and then you've got to Google it to see, you know, like, what's happened since and everything, and it's so good.
All right, The Staircase.
So there's that, The Staircase. You can get that on Amazon.
Okay.
I thought of Where's Papa? Such an old comedy. It's like from the maybe the late 60s. No, probably the early
70s.
Where's
Papa? I've never even heard of it.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It doesn't have anything to do with Lee Papa, does it?
No. And it's P-O-P-P-A.
Okay.
And it's George Segal and Ruth Gordon. And it is the craziest comedy. Like, it's got such hardcore comedy in it and also has a lot of patience in the comedy. It just has so many elements that you think are not from that time gone by. Like, it's very surprising. There's a gangbang scene, rape scene.
Oh, that's
rape. Gang rape.
So that's one I will watch with Myla.
But you almost could. It's all off camera, but it's bizarre that they could make that so kind of bizarrely light and airy. It's definitely something to see.
The new title, apparently, on IMDb, I'm being told, is Going Ape.
You're kidding? What?
That's what I've been told.
Is that?
They've reissued it with the title Going Ape.
That is bizarre. That refers to the opening scene. It's a great movie. You got to see it. It's a great movie.
One more. Because I'm not going to watch 14 hours.
Too many. You've seen Defending Your Life and Crimes and Misdemeanors.
What? No.
So. You haven't seen Defending Your Life?
Of course, okay. Of course. Come on.
Kind of the matters you've seen. You've seen Rushmore. You know what's a great... Since Nora Ephron died, I've been thinking about Heartburn. I love... Favorite movie of hers. And it's kind of autobiographical. No. It's so good. It's not like You've Got Mail or something like that. It's like autobiographical. It's about her marriage to Carl Bernstein, and it's, you know, Meryl Streep plays her and Jack Nicholson plays Carl Bernstein, and it's amazing.
Carl Bernstein and I had a little problem with each other, so I don't know if I watch that.
Well, he's pretty much an asshole in it, if that helps.
Ah, that does help. I did something. It's Fridays, Name Drop Fridays. That's why I do this. But I got asked to do a fundraiser, and I can't remember the name of the theater group, and they were reading from All the President's Men sometime in, like, I don't know, 2005, 2006. I can't remember when it was. And Carl Bernstein was there, but Woodward was not. And I introduced it by saying, you know, it's fitting that Woodward's not here, because I don't think Woodward's here in any shape or form anymore. The guy has turned into the absolute opposite of what he was when he wrote this. When he did this investigative reporting, now he's just a court, basically carrying the water for the court. Speaking of the George Bush's administration. And when they got up there, they all lined up, a bunch of actors. I can't remember who the actors were. I mean, maybe Richard Kind was there. There was a bunch of – I can't remember who they were. And,
is that the name drop?
That's not much. But Carl Bernstein was one of the people. And there was other people on stage. I mean, big actors. I can't remember the name. One of them starts – you know, they're reading the screenplay. One of them starts. Then it's supposed to go to Carl Bernstein playing one of the characters. And he says, I have to stop this now. The guy who introduced this was way out of bounds. And in front of this entire thing, he shat all over me. It was...
Yeah, but you shat all over probably his... Aren't they best friends?
I don't know if they're still friends or not. But yeah, no, I mean, I wasn't bothered by it. And then, you know, it got me a write-up in the Post, and that was fun.
I'm not saying you shouldn't have said that, but I'm just saying you got to take it.
I took it. Are you kidding? I was excited about it. That was before, you know, that was back before, you know, I had learned to sort of keep my mouth shut. Those are back in the salad days.
Don't ever keep your mouth shut, Sam Cedar.
It would make it very hard to do a podcast. So The Staircase, Where's Papa / Going Ape and Heartburn. I'm going to watch two of three of those.
Yeah. Another great movie. This is my last one.
Jesus's Son.
Great movie. Lots of, you know who's great in it? I'm going to say Dennis Leary. But it's like a lot of character actors, a lot of different scenes. It stars Billy Crudup, and it's based on a book.
Why do you got a problem with Dennis Leary?
I don't, but that movie made me go, he's an incredible actor. Like, he's incredible in this movie.
All right.
He just has a few scenes, and it's just a really, really good movie. Anyway, who cares? Well, we did it. We've been on the phone for 27 minutes and 34 seconds.
Holy cow. We went long. I appreciate that, Sarah.
My pleasure.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you when you get to the city.
Yeah.
Do you get to the city?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't quite figured it out, but I was thinking like the middle-ish 3 weeks of
September.
My lover got a job writing for a few months, so I plan on going there anyway.
Where?
On Amy Schumer's new show.
Who's Amy Schumer?
She's a very funny comedian, and
Wait,
she's
why are you looking
you'll
at me
see
like
her
that?
On.
She's really funny. That's why I'm looking at you like that.
Watch the roast of Roseanne. They're shooting it on Saturday, and I think it will air on next weekend or something. I have a prediction she'll have the set of the night.
All right.
She's also related to Chuck Schumer, I believe.
She's related to Chuck Schumer?
Yes, she is.
You don't
she
understand how out of it me? I am, Sarah. I don't think I've ever heard the words Amy Schumer.
Well, you know, we're older, and she's, you know, upcoming,
Speak
but she's
for
great.
Yourself.
She's really. Really smart and really funny. Yeah, a lady comedian.
I had no idea they were doing that now.
Huh?
I had no idea they were doing that now.
Doing what?
The whole lady comedian thing.
She's a lady comedian.
Sarah Silverman, always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, I'll hang up.
Why? Well, we could continue this, but I gotta wrap up the show. I gotta catch a train.
You're going to vacation right from here?
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know.
What are you trying to do? Make me sound less Jewish on the?
You got a backpack packed?
I do actually. I have a backpack.
I'm dating such a sweet guy, and you both do the, I bet you have a backpack where you, like, buckle the front that goes around your front.
If it's heavy, sometimes I'll do that, or if I have to run.
You just went out, what?
If it's heavy or I have to run to catch something, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like that.
Well, that's the way they build them, so it's not like...
Well, they build them to do that, so, I'm actually doing the correct thing.
Sorry, you just broke up.
That's what you sound like. All right, have a great
Bye,
vacation.
Bye, Sarah. Thank
Kiss
you.
Kiss the wife. Please the girl.
I will.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
All right, folks. We'll do a freebie Friday, right? Let's just go right into the IMs.
Not.
We'll go into the IMs because you freeloaders may not get anything. Heath and Steven on the IM. They don't sell the big pretzels at the Auburn Mall anymore either, probably since the early 70s. Heathen Steven, of course, from Central Massachusetts, knows that I used to go to the Auburn Mall. The number is 646-257-3920. I never actually went to the Auburn Mall, to be honest with you. I guess I went more to the Greendale Mall or Worcester Center, I think, when I was a kid. That's what we used to hit. Let's go to the phones. Is this Michael from Florida?
How you doing, buddy? Yes, it is.
How you doing? Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. I always love the back and forth with Cliff, although I'm very disappointed. You can't do a tape version, or are you just out of pocket next week?
I'm out of pocket next week. We tried to do pre-tapes, but, you know, to be honest with you, so a lot of people are on, just like in the summer, this is a very tough time to get guests. And I had to double up on guests for Ring of Fire, and so we just didn't have time.
No, No problem. I need my clip fixed with Sammy once a week. It's I told you before, without kissing too much tail, it's one of the best half hours in podcasting. Anyway, briefly, you guys touched on Bill Nelson down here. Just want to give you a quick update. Bill Nelson's going to be in the fight of his life with Cornelius McGillicuddy III. That is Connie Mack's grandson. That's correct. Not the baseball player, but his great-grandson from the baseball manager. He's a virulent right-winger, Christian conservative, Cape Coral, Florida, basically, you know, your basic right-wing nightmare. And there's going to be a ton of money thrown at that race. So even though Bill's up by 4-6 right now, it'll be close. My guess is if Obama does okay down here, Nelson will be okay with him on coattails, which is exactly the opposite of what happened in 2010 with the governor's race. Because in the governor's race, Alex Sink did so poorly that she basically tanked any Democrats' ability to run against Marco Rubio, just FYI.
You know, I'll tell you something. I think that story with Bill Nelson, I think that's going to be the story across the country in the Senate races. You've got a lot of guys who are up, guys, gals, whatever, Senate Democrats who are up 4 or 5 points, but they're going to see just a ton of money come in late in the race. I think already a bunch of these PACs and whatnot are going to, to the extent that they're not bilking a billionaire out of their money, they're going to start to dump the money into a Senate race, and that's going to change the dynamics of a lot of these races.
Yeah, but this presidential thing, I know you're big fan of saying that it's over. I don't think it's over, Sam. I don't think it's going to be over until after the first debate. Then we'll know. Anyway, I know you're tight for time, so I'll make it quick. The other big story that you got to look out for is that Charlie Crist, remember him?
Yeah.
Or her, depending on your point of view, is going to probably endorse the president. I know, it's a cheap shovel, what can I tell you? Hey, is probably going to endorse the president, and there's a very good chance, better than 60% at this point, that he will challenge Lex Luthor for the governorship in 2 years.
Interesting.
On the Democratic side.
Really?
Not as an independent. Yeah.
Do you think it will
help? Now, the problem
help?
With that is going to be, obviously, well, Charlie, here's the problem, okay? As an old political reporter, I can tell you, if Charlie does that, every Republican with a knife is going to come out of the closet, literally, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And so those stories that were so well hidden in his 2006 election, and for the most part buried under 2010, are to come flying out of left field and right field and every other field you can think of.
But do you think
although
that
Charlie remains really popular.
Will his endorsement help?
I think it will. His personal popularity is still pretty strong. He's not near Bob Graham status, but I would say that an endorsement from Charlie would, A, convince a lot of the independents south of the I-4 corridor to go ahead and go with the president, and B, would also reassure some of the Democrats in the Tri-County area. For people who don't listen to the show, don't know real well, Palm Beach, Broward, and Dade County represent about 50% of the voting block, or 40-50% of the voting block in the state of Florida. The rest of the state's catching up, but still, if Democrats turn out in the three counties, generally Democrats have a chance to carry the state. Charlie can go ahead and go a long way towards helping convince those people that it's okay, moderate Republicans, independents, not to go ahead and align yourself with crazy people or people you don't like. So in one respect, he'll take away some of Romney's independent people who are upset with Romney for basically betraying his core principles, and two, he'll go ahead and probably assuage a lot of, you know, Bill Nelson-type Democrats that it's okay to sign up with the president. So, yeah, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes, it'll help.
Interesting.
But the thing to watch for is Charlie switching party allegiances, and if he shows up in Charlotte, he's definitely switching parties, and he's going to probably challenge Lex Luthor in 2 years. But I think Lex Luthor is going to get an inter-party challenge anyway.
Right.
That's my guess. He may not get past the primary.
Interesting. Michael, thanks for filling us in.
Sammy.
Talked in a couple of weeks.
How long are you going to be out? A week or just a day?
Just a week. Week.
Enjoy yourself, pal.
Thanks. Take it easy.
Take care.
Bye. Heathen Steven, can I get that breaking news sound somewhere? Yeah, we can figure out something. Send me an email. Morella, funny you about talking about Octopus again today. I just finished it last night, and it's awesome. Couldn't put it down and stayed up late and was late for work today because I just had to finish it. Not only reads like a movie script, but the ending leaves it open to a sequel. I'm going to buy more copies as presents for friends. Fantastic. Bush and Chains. Morgue City, parts of Detroit are quickly becoming dumping grounds for the bodies of murder victims. Ugh. Obama BS job numbers just don't add up. Full-time jobs, minus 197. Part-time jobs, plus 31. Seasonal and birth death adjustments add 429,000 statistical jobs. But the ISM report today says
that the employment index dropped below 50 for the first time since 2011, printing at 49.3 from 52.3. In other words, employment in the U.S. service sectors is contracting, something which the NFP number denied. Someone should tell Obama that he needs to do a better job at lying. Bush and Chains, Romney is a liar. He made $20 million last year on his investments. How do you make $20 million on net worth of $250 million when supposedly his investments are passively invested in bonds, which are at best yielding 2%? He's a billionaire. Or is he lying about his investments being in a blind trust? Bush and Chains, I guess Sarah doesn't believe in quality of life or in euthanizing her dog. How very Republican, Terry Schiavo of her. Bush and Chains, someone should report Sarah to the local SPCA. Avedon, don't Simpson Bowles report. There's no such thing. Did I say Simpson Bowles report? No. I usually say yes, the letter by those two guys. And, you know, I really do hope to see that clip of Cliff shooting it. That would be worth doing. Montana Marxist, self-described global warming convert Mueller, has been making the rounds pimping his new book, From Democracy Now to NPR. I heard him prop up the same straw man, then beat it down multiple times. Despite being a convert, he pretends that prior to his recent study that the science was not settled. Also, he pretends that there are climate scientists who are trying to say individual weather events are caused by climate change without even mentioning the more nuanced and correct position that individual events are extreme taken together, are best explained by global warming. Yeah, I mean, I've heard it best described by, like, you know, you increase your odds of dying by smoking cigarettes. That doesn't mean every time you have lung cancer, it's a function of cigarettes. It just increases your odds. All while he played coy about pretending not to know the position of the Koch brothers in fossil fuel industry and climate denial. What a douchebag. Check out Skeptical Science for great rebuttals to global warming deniers. And a history of Mueller's history cites author John Cook would be a great interview source. Yeah, you know, I just don't want to give too much credit to people who just sort of like wake up and find out like, now there's proof. Find it difficult to believe, a Montana Marxist says, Mitt Romney, when he says he has no interest in his wife's dancing horse. It's such a great representation of the bourgeois ideology that embodies Mitt himself. The one who best controls the laboring subject receives the award. That is what passes for a Marxist joke. Sorry, everyone. Yeah, you know, I have trouble. I have trouble believing that Mitt actually doesn't know anything about dressage or has been ignoring it or whatnot. I'll tell you why. Partially,
all right, and it's turned
because
into
of your... this.
What kind of horse has he got? She has Austrian warm bloods.
Yeah, are they, I don't know.
Which
that.
Are yeah, it's a dressage horse. It's mm-hmm. a kind of horse uh-huh. for the sport that she's in.
But you don't know
right.
anything about
me. Sure. I have Missouri Foxtrot.
Oh, you have a horse.
So mine is like a quarter horse, right. But just a much better gait. It moves very fast and doesn't tire. And it's easy to ride, meaning it's not boom, boom, right, boom. It's just a smooth.
A little smoother.
Very smooth.
What's that? Did you stay here last night? Are you like,
yeah,
it's a nice hotel.
So there it is. Mitt Romney apparently does know something. Mitt Romney apparently does know something about horses and dressage, despite the fact, look, me actually taking time. And I only did that because I got that IM. Me actually taking time to tell a story that Mitt Romney is lying about something or denying his past experience or flip-flopping on something is, it's impossible for me to come up with something that is less groundbreaking, less profound. The man is a liar. You want to come and tell me, I hate Barack Obama for whatever reason, X, Y, and Z. That's why I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. But is anybody in the country even willing to pretend to make an affirmative argument for Mitt Romney? The man is a liar. And if he told the truth, he'd still be just as hateful. That's why he lies. So... back to the IMs. Par Prague,
Surely this has potential for an Obama ad. Jenna Jameson endorses Mitt Romney. When you're rich, you want a Republican in office. Who's Jenna Jameson?
Like the most famous porn star ever.
Oh, all right.
You don't even have to watch porn to know who she is.
Well, all right. I mean, look, I don't know. It sounds like an actress. Into architecture. I know you like action movies. I'm not a fan, but I watched Immortals just to kill some time, and I liked it. The writing is terrible, but the cinematography is stunning. I like action movies with a story. Chloe Muir, the staircase is incredible. It's about a famous author whose wife either fell down the stairs or he killed her. It's an examination of justice and starts from beginning and end by a famous French director. Anyways, I have a question. Do you know if anyone has organized anything to try and save the post office from privatization? Someone should do postcards to save the post office or something. I don't know what's going to happen on the post office front, but it's just there's just no argument to privatize it. But I don't know anybody's working on it. John Miles, rise in unemployment is very bad news for Obama. No question about it. Most voters don't care how much this is Republicans' fault. They only care this happened under Obama's watch. There's no doubt Obama got played on the size of the stimulus, thinking he'd get Republican cooperation. I had a feeling there was a reason why Romney was being hit so hard on taxes this week, and this is it. Obama obviously knew these job numbers were coming. 163,000 jobs is not bad for Obama's reelection. It's bad in terms of the economy, but the people who are talking about the narrative, it's not bad at all for them. We had far worse last month, but the fact of the matter is we are in a jobs crisis. It doesn't matter if we get 80,000 jobs or 163,000 jobs, because it's not going to improve in any measurable way. From the election point of view, turn on the TV tonight. Every commentator short of Fox News will be saying, this is good news for President Obama. Because that's the only thing they care about. They hit Romney on this because he just got back from his foreign trip. They want to tie him up through the election and continue this pressure on him because he has no money. Romney has no money to spend right now. All his money's for the general election. He cannot spend that until the convention. That's the secret. That's what's going on here. That's why Romney has no ads up. That's why he can't fight back against this stuff. He's too lazy to actually travel and get free media by going to the swing states. The dude is getting rolled. It's getting rolled. This tax stuff is going to dog him. If you think Harry Reid put himself out there, well, first off, it was brilliant play, Harry Reid. He doesn't care. He's not going to be up for re-election. He's untouchable. He's willing to do this because he doesn't like Mitt Romney for good reason. But there's more to come. I can't say I know this for a fact, but I believe there is more to come. A Square, Sam, another great show with Greenwald. I was listening to the podcast and I was thinking, when does this cycle end at the same time you were asking the question? Only light I see is movements like Occupy Wall Street and action like your IMers infiltrating the Dems and pushing for progressive policy. We'll miss Majority Report live next week, but the real Majority Report is in Cedarista's. Fear not your absence for a day or a week because we know the value of your show content and great interviews. Enjoy the vacation. Thank you, A Square. I appreciate it. Our frame. Did anyone else notice that Miller's solution to climate change is to use more natural gas? I guess the Koch brothers did get their money's worth. Interesting. Does Reid have Mormon envy of Romney? Well, that's I meant to bring this up with Cliff. People know that Harry Reid is a Mormon as well. Now, there's Mormon and there's Mormon. And I think Harry Reid converted, I think because he married a Mormon. And I don't think his... He's just not as involved in the church, I think, as Romney is an elder of the church. And he's been involved in the church his whole life. I mean, you know, if we're going to talk about culture and you're going to double down and talk about culture, well, why aren't we talking about the culture of the Mormons, right? I mean, if the culture of the Palestinians can prevent them from being on par with the GDP of Israel, well, do we know if the culture of Mormonism provides for good presidents? What a douche. John Miles, agree with everything you say, but we'll have to see how the narrative plays out. If unemployment rate continues to inch up, I think that's going to be really hard to overcome. Look, people are suffering out there, and they're suffering just as much now as they were a week ago. Extremely good looking, thin and neat news comedian comes out to rail against the gays. Wow, how funny. Fox News comedian. One didn't think that the economic event could come and go with so much commentary from Wall Street Journal, Fed Mousepeath. Oops, TurboTax Timmy has got something to hide. Prominent German legislator visits NY Fed and asks to see German gold. He is turned away. I don't know what that means, but. And the final I am until a week from Monday. Calhoun job. Another month of job numbers like this will assure Obama's second term, but the big money will soon pour into the Senate races, and that's scary. Senator Testa here in Montana is doomed. I think that's really the actual story. Good point. Folks, not sure what you're going to have as members next week, but you will have replays from the show. Enjoy it. It'll be a little bit messy on the production end, but enjoy it and have a great week. See you when we get back.
It might take all the strength I got to get to where I want, but I know somehow I'm going to get there. I wasn't looking when I just got caught between the truth and the light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in, and my pilot light shining bright. I guess somewhere the choice was made. The option where you don't get paid for the road that bends before it finally breaks you. I guess somehow I lost my drive between the 101 and the 5. Do you know how far the detour takes you? Yeah, I know the clock is ticking, but the meds are gonna kick in. My power.